The Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. And this may sound somewhat convoluted, but it's a prayer of Jesus to his disciples. And we start at verse 6. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave me, I have given them, and they have received them and know the truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself so that they also may be sanctified in truth. The gospel of our Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. Grace to you and peace from our God and from our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Not everything in this world deserves the same ranking of importance, does it? That's why we make honey-do lists in order of importance. We put these things down that we want done, and sarcastically, in this millennium, perhaps we say. And if lists don't do it for us, how about sorting snail mail? We all have to do it. I bet most of us stand over a wastebasket or a shredder when we're sorting our mail. We have the priority pile of bills and thank you notes and cards. And then we have this mountain of junk mail mixed among that really important correspondence that we have to sort out. Jesus today, in this long excerpt from the Gospel of John, prays that we pay attention, to what is really important in this world. And shocking, it is not at all about belonging to this world. Not belonging to this world at all. To me, that should be a shocker. It's something else. It's more. It's to be longing. Be longing for the gift of truth and love to overcome the world. A world dotted with evil and idolatry. And Jesus keeps using this convoluted word. Did you notice the word he kept using? Sanctify. He uses that word sanctify several times in this gospel. It covers many things, many aspects of discipleship, as we are all his disciples. Here are a few of the meanings of sanctify. To set apart. To declare holy. Make sacred, bless, hallow, anoint, ordain, purify, cleanse, redeem, be morally right in an opposite world, That is the blessing Jesus gave those 12 disciples, one appointed late. Jesus asks us to assess our very lives and to prioritize. To prioritize what? To prioritize truth, prioritize love, prioritize and to pay attention to the details of caring for others, lest we miss the really important gifts in our lives by veering from that church honey-do list of love. That reminds me of a story. Well, you may have heard this one. It's an old one, but it fits with this love and priorities. A man was visiting a friend in intensive care. That was before COVID-19 stopped us from visiting our friends in intensive care. His friend was hooked up to all kinds of, if you've ever been in intensive care, you've seen all of the wires and hoses and tubes, so a person can hardly even look, let alone move. And he could not speak. All kinds of things around his mouth and such. It was one of those one-way conversations with his friend. While speaking, his bed and hose-ridden friend motioned for a paper pad and pencil so he could write something down for his friend because he couldn't speak. He scratched out a quick note. The visitor set it down to finish his comments because he wanted to make sure he got through to his friend on how they had had such a good time together in so many instances. But before he could finish declaring all these wonderful things to his friend breathed his last and died. In the chaos of getting the nurse and the code blue rush and all of that that you may have experienced in a hospital, the friend forgot to read the note. As he picked up the notepad, he thought, aha, what a treasure I have of my friend's last words on earth. I will save them. And I will read them as his family comes back into the room so that they may share it with me. Soon the family was back in the room and the friend declared that he was able to get the last words of their beloved one on this piece of paper as he scratched it out. Soon he started reading the notepad. Everyone, though sobbing, perked up to hear what the loved one had to say for them. The man lifted the message and read this final memory from his dear friend. It said, "You are standing on my oxygen tube." The friend broke down in tears. The family tried to console him, but he wailed over what he had unknowingly done to his friend. Well, it's just a story, but it's a clear reminder of priorities. When I was in chaplaincy, I had 4 units of CPE in hospital settings and other places. The first thing we learned in chaplaincy was this. We learned to track with the patient or the person we were counseling. You track with them and let them tell you what's going on. You don't get your story involved in their story. You track with them. That's the great loving thing to do. And you do not get distracted by your own needs to tell what you need to tell. That would have been a wise thing for this friend in ICU. Today, Christ prays for us not to belong to this world, not to belong to this world. He prays also to his Father not to take us from this messed up place, this world of sin and hate, but to work with it, to turn from hate and give love in return, no matter what. Sister or Mother Teresa once said, when someone asked her, what do you do when someone keeps hating you and keeps throwing things at you and keeps being obnoxious? She says, I keep loving them. I keep loving them, and eventually they will love me back. At least that was her hope. You know, you try that, and it does work. Jesus prays that we are, here's his words that he loves, this sanctified in truth and love. He prays that we be in this world. We have to be in this world, but not of this world. And while not belonging to the things of this world, we are to be longing for the truth and love. John 17, verse 14 said, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sometimes truth makes people hate you. Maximilian Kolbe died in World War II in a concentration camp. He was a father or a priest. He died there because his life was governed by love. One of his fellow prisoners, a man with a spouse and children, was condemned to death by starvation. Well, Father Kolbe worked with the guards and convinced them that he should die rather than his friend, and it worked. He gave up his life so that this man could perhaps, maybe, be with his spouse and children again. He died of starvation. His love of God and for another was higher than his love of self or this world of sometimes awful cruelness, as we know. He conquered hate with love, in a sense. Belonging is to God, not the world. You belong to God, and you long for being with God. To be longing is to be seeking to be a change agent in this world. How can we be change agents in this world? Well, you may not agree with the views of certain people. We all have our own views, and we all disagree at one time or another, especially when it gets to political things, right? But when you look at their standing against hate in a lonely, isolated island, you see there is something beyond loyalty, something beyond belonging in this world. We must be longing for the truth and bringing people into Christ's love. Just this week, I saw a very strong woman. You might not agree with her policies, and I might not agree with her policies, but Liz Cheney defied the lies and spoke the truth this week. She stood up all alone and lost her leadership, but she stood for the truth, for what she knew she would lose in her speaking up all alone. She did it anyway. Her stance on truth is part of what we mean by belonging for a world where truth and love reign. Being in a world, but not always of the world of mass thinking and belonging and having to be loyal to something that may not be the truth, may not be love in this world. A disciple's mission is this, says Jesus. Here's what Jesus says. As I have loved you, serve in love, share in love, sacrifice in love. People who love may walk extremely unpleasant paths, just as Father Kolbe did, just as Liz Cheney did this past week, and just as we may at one time or another. I know I have chosen a path that no one else has chosen at times, and it's been very unpopular. But you do it because you know it's the right thing to do. They always know why they do this. I always knew why I did it. They always know why. It's for a higher cause. They have reached beyond belonging to a false life and have chosen to be longing for the truth, the right, and the beautiful in this world. God's way of belonging. Paul Redding once wrote a poem, and it goes like this. You can't buy love in a department store for $3.99 or $7.49, it's probably more now, and you can't even get in a department store, or in a porn shop for $24.99. Love isn't available in bars or behind the movie theaters downtown. Love cannot be calculated. There's no receipt for it. You can't write a check for it. A credit card's useless. Love is simply there. It pierces through the thickest walls. It invades through the wreckage and the rubble, hopefully in Israel and Palestine and the Gaza Strip, during the day and deep into the night. Love is simply there. I and we might add, as the advertising goes, love is priceless. Love is God, and God is love. Just before I was ordained into the Lutheran Church in 1987, we elected a man who was a full-blooded Swede to be our bishop of the was at that time the ALC-LCA. I was an LCA. And there's only one church in Eau Claire that was LCA, that was Emmanuel Lutheran. All the others were ALC, and I don't know, I think Central was ALC also. Anyway, that merger became the ELCA. And as a matter of fact, right now, many of the church leaders are wanting to change it back to LCA because the E in evangelical is causing lots of problems for people thinking that we are very conservative. And the ELCA is thinking of LCA being good as it was, Lutheran Church in America, because the evangelical connotation is there. Anyway, his name, this bishop, the Swede, was Herbert Kjellström. I still remember the story he told at National Convention when I was a full-fledged Lutheran. In his talk, he refers to two treasures of his childhood. One, and perhaps you have this memory too, one was a bowl, a beautiful crystal bowl. He held it up and he showed it around, and it was just a gorgeous bowl. And he said, that's the bowl. This bowl is what I was baptized in, into Christ Jesus. The other was and I think I have one, and probably you might have one, a confirmation Bible from his mother. Mine's the old King James Version with a zipper on it, and you zipped it shut. Well, his was an old Bible from his mother, but she wrote an inscription on it, and she said, be careful how you live. Be careful how you live. You may be the only Bible some people get to read. That verse has gone around, and it's lost on where it came from. It came from Herbert Kjellström's Bible so many years ago. You may be the only Bible some people read. So how's your Bible look? He was a man who stood on principle. I met him, knew him, loved him. His belonging to the faith of Jesus in today's gospel was longing for the truth, which is demonstrated in that Christ kind of love. That is, love God, love your neighbor as yourself, and neighbor means anyone, Israeli, Palestinian, black, white, red, in between, handicapped, not. It means anyone is your neighbor. Read your friend's note right away. And the rest is commentary. We trudge on in longing for the truth and bringing love to the world so filled with hate sometimes, and we're seeing it. I don't know how anyone resolves the Middle East. But we have this hope that in loving, something will happen and Jesus will enter. We trudge on because that is at the top of God's honey-do list for us. Let's be longing for truth. Let's be longing for truth that will set us free to love in God's name, no matter how much we are chastised in this world. Let us love back. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds on Christ Jesus and his love for us. Amen.